We'll continue with the title. It's called Worship is Contagious. Worship is Contagious. We're in Genesis chapter 24, Genesis chapter 24, right after Genesis chapter 23. Most of your Bibles, probably. Amen. When you found the passage, if you can and able, stand with me, please, as we honor God's word. It's worth honoring. Do you realize it's absolutely perfect? No contradictions. No errors. It's the very word of God. Don't let the people of higher education and degrees behind their names talk you out of the Bible. The devil's been trying to do that since the garden. So that song's kind of old by now, isn't it? We have the word of God. All right. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house that ruled over all that he had, put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven and the God of the earth, and thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go into my country and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant of said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me into this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land. He shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if the woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear of this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham, his master, and sware unto him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose and went to Mesopotamia and to the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city by a wall, by a well of water, at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of men, of the men of the city come out to draw water, and let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that, behold, Rebekah came out and was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with a pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, Let me, I pray thee, drink a little of thy water, of thy pitcher. And she said, Drink, my lord. And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hastened and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again into the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man wondering at her held his peace, to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of a half shekel weight and 2 braces for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, Whose daughter art thou? Tell me, I pray thee, is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in? And she said unto him, I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor. She said moreover unto him, we have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in. And the man bowed down his head and worshiped the Lord. Father, before you tonight, pray we can learn from this thy example in the scriptures, that you might help us as we endeavor to worship you, because you're worthy of that. Help us now, for Jesus' sake, if there's lost, that they might be saved. Amen. All righty. Turn the mic on up here so it might work better back there now. The title again, worship is contagious. And God helping us tonight. Is this working? Did I? Oh, okay, there we go. Thank you. Well, a little bit of background. A few years ago, probably about the right time we started out in evangelism, I heard a message in a conversation, and out of that conversation, they asked the question, do you worship God when you go to church? Sometimes they're a little sarcastic, and I'm thinking, well, yeah, duh, that's why you go. So when I left that situation, the Holy Spirit wouldn't leave me alone about it. He's like, well, son, do you worship me when you come to church? And I'm thinking, sure, I do, Lord, I do. And I just couldn't get it out of my head. So that's what prompted a study on worship. So I looked it up in the Greek dictionary, the Hebrew dictionary, the English dictionary, and I did a word search. And the scripture, the form of worship, worshipped, and there's variations, and found that it appears like 198 times. Don't worry, we're not going to look at all 198 tonight, okay? But from that came this study, and then a couple of years ago, maybe even last year, I can't remember time frame because it kind of runs together, Brother Hibner's meeting he has in November, that year's theme was the wonder of worship. So I'd already began this study a long time ago and picked it back up since that was the theme of that one. And I believe the Lord's now given me close to maybe 8 sermons in this particular series on worship. And this is another one of those series. In fact, the second in the series I preached here before back in 2016 when I dealt with Isaiah 6. Okay, so if I doubt anybody remembers, that's a long time ago. But just showing the progression. And then here comes this one now, entitled, Worship is Contagious. Well, Abraham's servant bowed his head and worshiped. That fits our established definition of worship. We alluded to it this morning. That's where one willfully humbles himself by bowing, kneeling, or prostrating themselves on the ground in adoration of God. That's the definition, okay? Well, he bowed his head. That fits the definite humility there. And he was adoring the Lord. So it fits the definition. But I have a question. Who is this Abraham's servant? How did he know to worship? Where did he learn it from? And with those questions in this passage, to me, it just came alive. Because in the first mention, if you know hermeneutics, the first mention, it establishes kind of the thought of it throughout the whole scripture. Well, we find that in Genesis 22, verse 5, where Abraham said unto his young men, abide ye here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship and come again unto you. When we were here back in November, I preached that one. It was called Grateful Worship.
Abraham said, I am the lad. We're going to go yonder. Shows he's from the south, amen. And we're going to worship while we're there, and then we're going to come again. And because the ram died instead of his son, of course, is a beautiful picture of the gospel, and they worshiped there and came back down the mountain. But when Abraham said to his young men, I believe that it's very possible, and I personally believe that this servant that we read about in Genesis 24 is one of the young men that we read in Genesis 22. And let me just show you how I've kind of connected that. By now, this is Abraham's eldest servant. We're probably 40 years down the road now, back from then. Okay, at least, I'm guessing at that time. And the Bible says in Genesis 24, verse 2, our text, and Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house. So back before Abraham was Abraham, when he was just Abram, in Genesis 15, the Bible says, after these things, the word of the Lord came unto Abram in a vision, saying, fear not, Abram, I am thy shield and thy exceeding great reward. And Abram said, Lord God, what wilt thou give me, seeing I go childless? So this is before the babies, okay? And the steward of my house is this Eliezer of Damascus. Verse 3, and Abram said, behold, to me thou hast given no seed, and lo, one born in my house is mine heir. So Abram's just trying to figure out the promise of God here. And Eliezer was born in his house, and as a servant in the customs and the laws of the land, actually gave Abraham legal right to that offspring. So he's thinking, oh, he must be. He's born in my house. And then God, of course, clears it up in verse 4 by saying, and behold, the word of the Lord came unto him, saying, this shall not be thine heir, but he that shall come forth out of thine own bowels shall be thine heir. And he brought him forth abroad and said, now look toward heaven, and tell the stars if thou be able to number them. And he said unto him, so shall thy seed be. And Abraham believed in the Lord, and he counted it to him for righteousness. Amen. So we realize Genesis 15. Okay. So I believe Eliezer saw Abram get saved and become Abraham. He grew up in his house, and I believe that he learned how to worship from Abraham. I mean, it makes sense, right? That's where this person, just this servant, Eliezer, in my opinion, he learned it from Abraham. And can we say that some things are more caught than taught? So I believe this servant learned how to worship from Abraham. But where we're headed with this tonight is, now this servant, he makes it personal for himself. He owns it. It's his prayer God answered. Yeah, amen. So, let's look at what prompted this eldest servant, Eliezer, I believe, to worship. He may have learned it from Abraham, but now it's personal. He owned it for himself. It became real to him. So, first off, we see this servant's specific prayer. Eliezer, in my opinion, I say that because I can't prove it, I just connected a few dots. I believe it to be true. But look back at our text now in verse 12. Here's this servant's specific prayer. He says in verse 12, and he said, O Lord God. What's he doing? He's praying. Okay, so this is his prayer. This prayer is recorded for us, unlike David's this morning when we seen in Psalm. All right, so anyway, he said, O Lord my God, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac. And thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master Abraham. Notice a couple of objects or items here in this prayer. He showed me good speed. He showed kindness. He's saying, let the one I asked for a drink not only give me a drink, but also offers to give my camels drink. Amen. Now from our text that we read, let's see if you're listening. How many camels did this servant take with him? 10, exactly. All right, so he took 10 camels. All right. Now, I don't encourage you to get your theology from cartoons or your facts of science as far as that goes. But I used to think growing up that the camel's hump on his back was where his water was. Now, the reason I thought that, you have to give me a little credit here. As a little camper watching a cartoon, you see this desert come in from the, or this camel come in from the desert. He's all thirsty. And then when he drinks, you see in the cartoon, his hump goes. So as a little boy thinks, I thought, that's where his water goes. How many else has thought that? Hey, I'm not the only one. That's exciting. Well, when I actually done the research, wrong. Okay, so the hump on the camel is not for water, but it's for fat storage for energy. And their store of fats on their back versus around their stomach and the muscles of the stomach. And then that shows you the infinite wisdom of our Creator. He did that on purpose because their natural habitat's the desert. So if it was around the stomach, they would just overheat. They're too hot. So God puts that on their back to help protect them and give them the energy they need while they're out in the desert. I thought, well, isn't that the most cool thing, you know? So it's an example of like if we had an overcoat and we had all kinds of, you know, champion food in it like Twinkies and Three Musketeers and a couple Milky Ways, okay, and a couple granola bars. So anyway, we get off the plane, we're in the middle of the desert. Well, we're going to take that coat off and we'll throw it around our back. We're not going to throw it away, but we're going to keep it for later for energy. That's the idea. They wear it on their back for energy for what they're doing. So I just think, wow, that's awesome to me. So in this report that I read, said that a camel can drink 200 liters of water. So what's that mean? See, I'm an old-fashioned English guy. I deal in gallons. And the old muscle cars, like 350 and the 427 and the 490s and, you know, and the Hemis and all. Okay, I understand those. And now they come up with a 5.6 liter. What is that stuff? Okay, so anyway, I had to look it up, is what I'm saying. And this 200 liters of water, come to find out, is 53 gallons of water. Now, I understand gallons because I've seen a 50-gallon drum before. And that means that whole 50-gallon drum is full of water, and then I have three milk cartons on top of that to make 53 gallons of water. Everybody with me? And the amazing thing is that these animals can drink that in 3 minutes. That's chugging some water. Okay, now, do the math with me. If you have 53 gallons for one camel, and you have 10 camels, how many gallons? 530 gallons. Okay? That's a lot of water. Okay, back to our text, Genesis 24, look at verse 19. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they have done drinking. And she hastened and emptied her pitcher in the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. Now that's impressive. So he wasn't asking some small request when he asked God about this. Folks, that's work anyway. You slice that one. So I don't know how big her pitcher was or how many trips she'd have to make to get 530 gallons of water. But that sure sounds like a whole lot of work to me. One thing for sure, that would certainly weed out the lazy girls. This girl's not going to be lazy if she's doing that. I'd be like, get your own drink, you know. But anyway, please notice that God answers this servant's prayer before he's done praying it. Now, that's pretty awesome. So God answers the servant's prayer before he's finished praying. Verse 15, and it came to pass before he had done speaking. Who? The servant. Well, we just read his prayer. For he got done praying, behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. Well, amen. And then verse 16, and the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well and filled her pitcher and came up. So here's the bonus. She was pretty. Oh, now, amen. Now, those of us who are married, I know that we all believe that we've married our wives and they're pretty, and I certainly believe that. But I remember prior to meeting my wife, I was a little concerned, like, Lord, I'm praying, but please let her be pretty. What, you guys never prayed that? Well, amen. Thank you for your honesty. Amen. Well, she was pretty. You can trust the Lord with this. Now, amen. And by the way, she was pure. The Bible says she had known a man. She was a virgin. There's value in purity. So for the young ladies here tonight, I encourage you to keep yourselves pure until you walk down the altar and the preacher says you can hold hands. Be the first time you hold hands. When the preacher says you can give a kiss, it'll be the first time you give a kiss. Amen. And while we're on this subject, the Bible also says in Corinthians 7 that it's good for a man to be also. So there's nothing wrong with purity. Well, she had character. She had diligence. Excuse me, she wasn't lazy. You give 10 camels, just got done traveling the desert, drink, you're going to do some work. She was hospitable. She gave him a drink. She had initiative. You know what initiative is? Initiative is seeing something that needs to be done and doing it without being asked. Well, wouldn't that be something? Our kids started doing that. Amen. And of course, having all that. But anyway, just saying that that's what initiative is. So she's thinking, you know, well, he's drinking. Your camels are probably thirsty. I'll give them drink too. So I'm just impressed with this young lady's character. And now back to the servant. The servant ran to see if God had answered his prayer. So he's thinking, are you serious? Is it happening this fast? Look at verse 17. And here it is, verse 17. And the servant ran to meet her and said, let me, I pray thee, drink a little of thy pitcher. And she said, drink, my lord. And she hastened and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she was done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they had done drinking. Can you see him drinking? What are you going to do? Yeah. He's like, wow. Amen. So, chapter 20, verse 26, the Bible says, and the man bowed down his head and worship the Lord. He said in verse next, 27, and he said, blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who have not left destitute my master for his mercy and for his truth. I, being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren. So I, being in the way, the Lord led me. He's in the center of God's will. He's following God's will for his life. And God answered his prayer. Okay, y'all aren't getting this. God didn't answer somebody else's prayer. He didn't answer Abraham's prayer. And the servant obviously traveled with others with him as well. We find that in the text. But this wasn't a prayer meeting. The Bible says he was speaking in his heart. In other words, he was praying like this. And God heard him. And before he was done speaking in his heart, God answered his prayer. Do y'all not see this? Look. That was his prayer. God answered his prayer. Nobody else's. That was his prayer. Oh, nobody else even knew about it but God. Folks, that's when it becomes real. Have you ever prayed something before that nobody else knew about except you and God, and God answered your prayer? Does that not make it real? So here he was growing up in a home and watching God save Abram to Abraham, and Abraham obviously had a life that practiced worshiping his God, amen. I ain't allowed to go yonder, we'll worship. I mean, that was his life, and I believe this servant picked that up. So now he's out there by himself, well, with the other servants, but he prays to God himself in his heart, not even out loud, and God answered his prayer. And when he realized it, what did it do? It led him to worship. Wow! God answered my prayer. Woo! Oh, and he bowed his head in adoration of God for giving him good speed. He, being in the way the Lord led him, heard his prayer, and he's like, woohoo! I mean, it blew him away. Y'all looking at me funny. I have a question. Have you ever prayed a prayer that only you prayed and then God answers it, and it not make you think, woohoo! And then I embarrass myself because I tell myself a little bit for my lack of faith. It's like, wow, he actually answered my prayer. Well, why were you praying if you weren't expecting him to answer it? But who hasn't done that before? And you think, oh, he answered my prayer. Okay, so I'm the only one. I don't think so. But you see how real that makes it? Folks, that makes it real. And that's what we're after here tonight. So I'm saying worship is contagious. This servant caught it from Abraham. But now it's real. It's his. He owned it. Amen. And folks, I believe that we need to learn how to worship from our pastors. I believe our families need to learn how to worship from the daddies. Amen. Has your children ever walked in and found you on your face worshiping God? Not that you're doing it for show, but it just happened to, oh, there you are. That's okay. I'm not saying you're necessarily even doing it for show. You would just spend some time praying. You got on your face, you're worshiping God, you're thinking whatever you're dealing with at that point. You might not even been praying out loud, you're praying in your heart. And Junior walks in, oh, what's going on? And there's nothing wrong with saying, okay, if we're going to worship, we're going to have to humble ourselves. We're going to have to bow, kneel, or prostrate. That's true. That's what the word means. And while we're there, we're admiring him. We're adoring him. We're grateful to him. Okay? So there's nothing wrong in a formal teaching of that. But folks, we need that today. While we're on this, what dad or mom in here that fears God doesn't want their children to fear their God? See, growing up, especially in a Christian home, all they know is church. Well, that's a good thing. Amen? But sometimes because they only know church, they think, I'm okay. And you might not be okay because this thing's personal. Because if you don't get saved yourself, you're going to go to hell, even though your mommy and daddy's going to heaven and taught you about God. So you'll go to hell knowing that Jesus is God's son, knowing that he died on the cross, knowing he rose again, you're still in hell. What happened? Because you didn't make it personal. It never became real to you. If you're here tonight and that's your case, Let me invite you, like this morning, oh, taste and see that the Lord is good, but taste personally. Amen. There's not a mommy and daddy in here that doesn't want their God to become their God. And rather than just answering your prayers, that he answers their prayers. And it becomes real and it becomes personal. And this thing becomes alive in their lives. Amen. Amen. Is that not what we want? Let our worship be contagious. Amen. Well, you have praying going on, and God answered the praying going on, and then you have worship going on, you know what's next? Testifying. Yeah. So the servant went to testifying. Let's jump on in here, verse 31. Of course, he asked, hey, do you have room in your father's house? He said, oh, yeah, we got lots of room. Come on down. And so anyway, they get there, and Laban, he begins to talk to him. Verse 31, we pick up, look at it. And he said, come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels. And the man, Eliezer, Abraham's eldest servant, and the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and he gave strong provision for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. See, he had some with him, but they didn't hear him pray. He prayed in his heart. Notice verse 33. And there was set meat before him to eat, but he said, I will not eat until I have told you mine errand. And he said, speak on. Showed you they're Baptists. I mean, you're going to have fellowship. You've got to have food, right? Okay, I'm teasing with you there somewhat. So he's like, well, speak on, man. We got to get to eating. So he went to testifying. Verse 34. And he said, I am Abraham's servant. And the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he has become great. And he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maidservants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old. And unto him he hath given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go into my father's house and to my kindred and take a wife unto my son. And I said unto my master, peradventure the woman will not follow me. And he said unto me, the Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way, and thou shalt take a wife for my son of my kindred in my father's house. And then thou shalt be clear from this thine oath when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give thee, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day into the well and said, O Lord God and my master Abraham, if now thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink, and she shall say to me, both drink thou, and I'll also draw for thy camels, let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed for my master's son. And before I done speaking in mine heart, testifying, behold, Rebekah came forth with a pitcher on her shoulder, and she went to draw, went down unto the well. Lord, help me read this. And she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, whose daughter art thou? And she said, I'm the daughter of Bethel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face and the braces upon her hands. And I bowed down my head and worshiped the Lord and blessed the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. Hallelujah. Well, that's what happened. So what's he doing? He's testifying. What's he emphasize? Well, when I got here, I went to praying. In my heart. Nobody heard this. Just God. And I being in the way, he showed me good speed. He answered my prayer. Before I was done speaking, in my heart, poof, here's Rebekah. He's like, this is of God. And I took time to worship him because I was just blown away because he answered my prayer. And I bowed my head and I blessed him. Is that not worship? Amen. You see how that works? Well, so you do the praying. God does the answering. That leads us to worshiping. And then it leads us to testifying. And guess what the testifying does? Leads us back to worship again. I mean, it's right here in the scripture. Look in verse, where did we stop? Was it 49? Yes, it's 49, right? By the back of 49. And now, if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, he's talking to Laban, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee good or bad. What could they say? They obviously seen it was of God. Well, obviously, if you're about to give up one of your family members, that's a hard part. So how can you be like, woohoo? That wasn't that way. And at the same time, wow, this is of God. Yeah, we're for that. So it's like, we can't speak any bad or good. Verse 51. Behold, Rebekah's before thee. Take her and go, and let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord has spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshiped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. What happened? He worshiped again. He worshiped out there. He came in and testified. He got the answer he was looking for. And this time instead of just bowing his head, he bowed himself to the earth. I believe he got on his knees and put his face on the ground. What'd he do? Worship God. See how that works? You know why? It was real to him. It's one of those kind of times where folks, you've heard this phrase, it got thick. Anytime it ever get thick around here and you get goosebumps? I mean, there's been different times that realizations hit me that have put goosebumps down my arms. I'm serious that you can visibly see them. I'm thinking this servant, he had goosebumps chasing his goosebumps. I mean, it was real to him. Amen. And he got on his face. Whoa. In awe of God. By the way, that's where we get the word awesome. And God is the only true definition of awesome. Because there's God and there's none else. So technically, when we use that word, we ought to be a little bit careful with it. Because God really is the only one who is awesome. Amen. And he bowed himself, and he worshiped. Wow. God answered my prayer, mine, no one else's. No one else knew what I prayed. So this servant may have learned to worship from Abraham, kind of watching him, caught it growing up. But now his worship was personal, out of a grateful heart. He worship the Lord. He made it personal. So I wanted to show you this historical account, folks, to ask you a couple of questions here. Is your worship of God personal? I mean, is it an intimate time out of a heart of gratefulness? Are you blown away with God? Yea, standing in the awe of him. That's what I'm talking about. Do we adore him? When we're worshiping like that and adoring him, and I'm all for the shouting and the running and hooting and hollering as well. But by definition, that's not worship. Worse is what the servant's doing when he bowed himself to the earth. Now, the byproduct of that, he may get up and take a lap or two. Well, good for him. I'm out again it, okay? But it comes from the heart of worship. And folks, when we get to adoring our Savior like that, no wonder like Isaiah in chapter 6 when he said, who shall go for us? Who will go for me? And Isaiah says, here am I, send me. Where'd that come from? His worship. Folks, we all worship. Let me back up. We all serve. There we go. We all serve whom we worship. That's a universal principle. Everybody, it applies to everybody. So tonight, can I invite the church to come? And either if you can't get on your knees, and if you did, yeah, get 911 to get up. I get that because I got a knee talking to me now. Now that I'm young, at 58. Then just sit on the front pew and bow your head. And if you are able to bend the knee, bow the knee. Somebody should write a song. Then bow the knee before him. And it's not going to offend me if you got on your face at the altar. And we just spend a couple of minutes in awe of him. That it become real to us. That it become real to our children. That they catch how to truly worship God. Amen? How's your worship? Let's all stand.